Bibles and turn to the book of Romans in chapter 12. The book of Romans in chapter 12. I know I mentioned this morning, when I study my Bible, like many of you do, and has been a habit to do, to study my Bible for my own personal Bible study. And then on top of that, I'm always praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me preach? Now I know as a default mechanism in the church, you can never go wrong by preaching the gospel. That's the whole entire reason, and the reason we're here and we invite people to come and get them involved is to not only preach the gospel to those who may not have it, but to remind them of what the Lord gave them to put a burden in their heart to give it to somebody else. But the Lord impressed on my heart, I was reading through the book of Romans, and I came across Romans chapter 12, and as a young man, I had to memorize the entire chapter of Romans, chapter 12. And I'm sure I did at some point. And like many of us in school, we had to memorize things for several minutes until we got to say it, and then we could let it go. I've never been really good at my memory as far as Bible verses, but there are many verses that I know that I know now by heart, because as a young man in school and at home, we had to memorize Scripture. And this is one of those portions. But I was reading through Romans chapter 12, and I started looking at verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to go ahead and read them, and then we'll get into our message. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Tonight, I just want to take a few minutes and speak on our reasonable service to the Lord and aspects of conformity and transforming. And I just want to bring up a couple things that we can think about in our minds and in our hearts of in our daily walk as a Christian, are we conforming unto Christ or are we conforming to the world? How far are we going? And then not only that, but the conforming to Christ is only going to have full effect if we transform our minds from that worldly old man mind. It's got to change. Now we know that when we're born again, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. We're not speaking to lost people here. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about people who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have professed to know Him. And that's who I hope I'm speaking to tonight. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want to talk about some things tonight that are physical. Not just mental or metaphors or pictures of, but our actual physical transformation to follow Christ. And our conforming to the world in a physical way. I believe this is probably one of the hardest battles that we Christians fight. Maybe not personally myself, but I have to have children who fight it daily with the pressure of the world to conform to be like them. We call it peer pressure. We say, hey, you know, the kids are a lot of peer pressure. Well, adults get peer pressure too. Christians get peer pressure by other Christians. And it goes both ways. It goes both ways. It can go to the good. And then you have the, well, we don't do this and we don't do that. And then you have the ultra conform, where they look down at all the brethren who are doing what they think is right. But then you have the bad side, where everybody's trying to look like and act like the world so they can be in with the world in their crowd. And there's a balance there. There is a balance there. And what I want to speak on tonight, and the thing I want to talk about, is the battle within to not be conforming to the world. It presents itself in many ways to us as Christians. Clothing. Clothing is a battle. I tell you what, you cannot go to a clothing outlet store and find modest clothing everywhere. You have to search for it. You have to look and find something that you can say, you know what, this is modest and this is appropriate for me or for my wife or for my daughter or for my son. Because the language on some of the articles of clothing are so suggestive and downright wicked, you can't even buy it. You can't buy the stuff. So we're talking about physical things. The clothing is one of them. Music. Music, the conforming to the world in music. Everywhere you turn, there's a new Christian rock group, or a Christian rapper, or a Christian alternative to what the world has to offer. And those are not viable things that we can offer our children. The Bible says we have to worship in spirit and in truth. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to divide and remove those things that are not in spirit with God's spirit. And we're going to have to remove those things that are not true in worship with God. And so you cannot take the world and the worship of God the way the world wants to do it and mingle it with God's worship. So we have to be careful with our music. So our clothing, our music, our fads. The world is famous for coming out with a new fad here and a new fad there. Bell bottoms used to be in back in the, 60s or 70s. Right? And then they went out of fad. And then they came back in a little later. And then they went back out. Let me tell you what, we should be careful about the world and their trends, that we don't get caught up in the trends of the world to try to be a part of what they're doing to be in. We don't have to fit in. We're not supposed to fit in. Now, I'm not saying that we have to look bad. I'm not saying we have to look drab, or we can't wear colors, or you can't dress nice. I'm not saying that. There's a difference between modest apparel and the worldly apparel. I'll give you an example. Modesty is something that is appropriate for you. That's what modesty is. Modesty is appropriate, something that's appropriate. The Bible says in Genesis that God made Eve out of the side of Adam, and He brought her to be a help meet. What does that word meet mean? What does the word meet mean in that context? When God brought Eve to Adam, and she presented Eve to Adam, the Bible says the Lord made her and brought her to be a help meet. M-E-E-T. What does meet mean? What does that mean? Right. She said it's right. It means an appropriate help. It's an appropriate help. Let me tell you something. Not everything the world offers for us to have is meat or is an appropriate thing for us to use. Let me say it this way. Modesty is the difference between modesty on a person and being immodest is this right here. If something you wear, we're talking about clothing here, if something you wear draws more attention to your body than it does the Lord Jesus Christ, it's inappropriate. Especially in the realm of worship, when we come to church. If you come to church, we ought to look and present ourselves acceptable unto the Lord. Why? We're not here to draw attention to ourselves. We're not here to draw glory to ourselves for our appearance. Not our hair, not our gold, not our money, not our position, not our prestige. We're here to worship the Lord. Modesty is something, it's immodest if it draws attention away for the reason for what you're doing. I'll say this. It would be immodest for a woman to go horseback riding in her church clothes. It would be immodest. Because she might fall off her horse. She might have to sit on her horse a certain way. There is modesty in all the things that we do. What is appropriate for what you're doing? I'm not going to tell you what you wear and what you don't wear. I'm just saying be mindful that's not conformed to the world and the trends, the fads, and bring them into church because they are not bringing people closer worship to God. They're bringing attention to you and taking attention off of the reason why they're at church. Does that make sense? Modesty is what is appropriate for the occasion. We talked about music. We talked about food. Entertainment. What do we entertain ourselves with? The entertainment that the world offers is not appropriate in many ways for Christians. The music, the movies, the games, the things that they promote and put out are things that draw attention to the desires of our flesh. It appeases our eyes. It could be, if it's entertainment and movies, they won't even put it out there if they don't have some naked woman on it, or somebody fornicating, or somebody blowing everybody up and blood and guts everywhere. It's not going to be a smash hit. Nobody's going to go watch it. They have to have those things that bring in the desires of the flesh. We should be careful what we use as entertainment. Brethren, I'm as guilty as everybody else. I love to be entertained also. We all do. Our flesh loves it. But we have to be careful to draw a line and say, you know what? I can't cross this line because then I'll offend the Holy Spirit. And if we offend the Holy Spirit in our bodies, we can't do, like it says in verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because we're not sacrificing our body. We're presenting our body its pleasure. Alright? So we're talking about some basic things here. But the main one is our thinking. Our thinking. Our greatest enemy in the fight of the Christian fight is our own self. We have to fight our own mind. We have to bring in captivity the thoughts and the intents and the desires of our mind to put them back under the captivity of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. It's a daily battle. It's a hard battle. And if you give an inch, it'll take a mile. Imagination of our minds. We gotta bring it back under. We gotta bring it back where it needs to be. We were fellowshipping this morning over breakfast. And we were just talking about some things. And I tell you what. We're talking about something that we thought smelled bad. We're talking about something we thought smelled bad. And I tell you what, there are some things in your life, and there are things in my life, if I smell them, they bring my mind back to a certain place, and to a certain music, and to a certain position, and to a certain thing that is ungodly and wicked and wrong. Music does the same thing. If we entertain ourselves and we present our bodies with these things that we got away from when we got saved, it'll bring our mind back where it used to be. So it's not just a bodily function of change and conforming, it's also a mental changing. All right? Physically conformed. I believe the proper way that I can explain this is the word excess. Excess. Too much of anything can be bad. Too much of anything can be bad. And I tell you what, the problem with us that we find in our bodies, and as Christians we fight, is knowing when to say, no, this is enough. You know what? I have a TV set, I turn it on, I watch something, and there's a point where my spirit says, that's enough. It's time for something else. When my children are home and they're on the internet and they're doing the things that they're allowed to do and the permissions of the things they are allowed, there's a time I say, that's enough. Too much will cause our flesh to consistently and more desire those things, and it will draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, our service, our Bible reading, our thoughts, because all those things affect our mind in the end. Excess. Let's turn to 1 Peter in chapter 4. The book of 1 Peter in chapter 4. I'll start reading in verse 1. For so much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the times past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in, lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached to them that were dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. I want to take note of this right here. It says here in verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Let me tell you what, we ought to have a transformation in our life when we're not conforming to the world to such a point that others that used to run with us look at us and go, what's wrong with them? What's different? Why don't you go do this with us? Why aren't you a part of this anymore? Someone looking at you shouldn't think, well, they're cool. They're just like me. We go to the same places together. We do. Not the ungodly. They shouldn't be thinking that. You know why? Because we should be transformed. We ought to be non-conforming to the world, but conforming to Christ. The Bible says here in 1 Peter 4:4, they think it's strange that you don't run to the same excess. I can't tell you how many times I've been witnessing somebody on the job or talking to them, and they'll say something like this. Are you telling me you don't drink? No, I don't drink. I don't believe you. Everybody drinks. I'm sorry, I don't drink. Tell him, sir, you're not married and you're with this woman? Everybody does that. No, they don't. No, I wasn't. No, I was a virgin to the day I got married. Why? We feared the Lord. We wanted to honor our parents. Let me tell you what, not everybody runs to the same excess. And you know what it does? They speak evil of you because you don't. It bothers the world that you don't go to the same extent they do. It brings judgment against them that you aren't the same way they are. This is why we ought to be fervent in our desire and our trying to be non-conforming to the world. Because without saying one word, you bring judgment against them. Why? Because in your heart, you know what's right, and you do it. So by presenting your body a living sacrifice, you represent the change God gave. It's very important. When we go out for dinner and we go and eat somewhere, I have been with brethren, and I'm not judging them, I'm not castigating them, I'm not trying to talk bad about them, but they won't pray in a public place. They'll say, we're going to pray in the car before we go in. Or we're going to pray outside before we go in because it's going to be loud or this or that or the other. And I say, no, no. Let us get in front of them and let us be an example and let this be something that bothers them in their heart and in their mind. Why are these people praying? Who are they praying to? Why? It'll bring in their heart and mind. The Bible says in verse 4, it says here, he says, they'll speak evil of you. Why? They can't stand for someone to be doing right when they're enjoying the wrong so much. This is why we ought to be a living sacrifice. This is why we ought to present our bodies. Our bodies. We're not talking about some mystical spiritual thing. We're talking about a real thing. Present our bodies unto the Lord. And we can do that with the way we talk. We can do that with the way we walk. We can do that with with our dress and with everything about our lives. We can present the Lord in our life in such a way that we bring glory to God and at the same time judge the world because they look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing that? How come you're not doing the same thing we're doing? Are you better than us? That's what they like to say. You just think you're better than everybody else. No. I just love the Lord. And I want to serve the Lord. I want the Lord to be happy with me. He's done so much for me. This is a little thing I can do to present my body a living sacrifice. Our testimony and not doing the excess that the world does is a testimony against them. When we stand before Christ and God and we're being judged, the Lord is going to say, the guilty party is going to say, well, everybody was doing it. And they'll say, no, these people over here weren't doing it. And these people over here weren't doing it. Y'all remember Elijah? He just slaughtered the 450 prophets of Baal, and he's running from Jezebel. He's afraid for his life. He said, Lord, I'm the only one. The Lord said, no, you're not the only one. I got 6,000 more that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You ain't the only one. Let me tell you what, brethren, we are not in this alone. We're not in this alone. And if we will be faithful to present our bodies before the world in such a way, it will bring honor and glory to God in the end. Conforming to the world. Conforming. Now I want to talk about transforming for just a minute. Let's turn over to Romans, the book of Romans. Book of Romans in chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10 says this. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let me tell you what. He's talking to me there. He's talking to you there. Even as Christians, if we're not careful and we don't make provision to fulfill the desires of our flesh. Our flesh is wicked. Our mind is wicked. Our hearts are wicked. And it will not change until the Lord regenerates our body, a new body. But I want to say this. We have to be mindful not to allow our bodies to go to the full excess that it desires to go to when it comes to lasciviousness and the things therein. Verse 14 says, not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that lust is the lust of the flesh. That's not the lust of something else. That's the lust of your, the desires of your body. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15 says this. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. I want to say this. Not only should we not put provisions for the flesh, but we should make our mindset and our transforming should be in our mind to present our bodies to live for Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, I am not preaching to just anybody of you say, well, I'm preaching to one individual. No, I'm preaching the message the Lord gave me. I preach the Lord gave me. I'm going to tell you what, I need this message just as much as any of you need it. Why? The devil would love for you to fail and mess up and make a shipwreck of your life spiritually so he could shut your mouth when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He'd love to shut your mouth. Why? Because that's the power against Satan, is the preaching of the gospel. How can he do it? By making you guilty against the things you preach and making you of no effect when you do preach. Why? Because you're guilty in your hearts. I can be just as susceptible to any of these things as you can. So I need to preach this for me just as much as I need to preach this for you. Brethren, let's not make provisions for the flesh. Let's not allow ourselves the liberties Christians allow. You know what we do? I'm saved. I'm secure. I'm saved and I'm secure. I know what the Bible says. And therefore, I can allow myself some little extra room. I can allow myself a little extra pleasure over here. I can allow myself a little pleasure over here and it'll be okay. No. No. You will fall. I will fall. We are all. Bible says not to think more highly of yourself. We just read that in chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Not to think more highly. Why? Because the devil is just waiting on his chance to pounce on you. And I tell you what, our bodies are the easiest thing. When he sees us desiring and moving toward the world in certain ways, he says, aha, I got him. Just watch, just wait. He'll get far enough away, I'll have my chance to destroy him. Matthew chapter 12. We looked at Romans chapter 13 about our thoughts and our desires. We looked at 2 Corinthians, and all things should be new to us in our mind for sure. And I want to look here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33 says this. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruits. Let me tell you something. I have learned this lesson over the years. You give somebody long enough and they'll prove what they told you was either true or a lie. Someone tells you they're a great car mechanic? Give them a little time. Let somebody bring a car to them. You'll see if they know what they're doing or not. Someone tells you that I love the Lord. I sacrifice for the Lord. I do all this for the Lord. Give them a little time. It'll show itself. The fruit will not be a denial of the tree. You don't walk up to an apple tree and go, you're an orange tree. Someone just got it all mixed up. No, that tree can only bear the fruit of the truth that it's in. We read this morning, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. The truth is still the truth. If it's coming, if you call yourself an apple tree and you're growing pears, you're a pear tree. You can't deny those things. And so time will be the test. I believe the Bible. I trust the Lord. I love the Lord. I want to do what the Lord's will is. Time will tell. Time will tell. Let me tell you what. Our fruit cannot be denied for what we are. I want to say it like this right here. If our thoughts and our desires are constantly of the satisfaction of our flesh, and our thoughts and our desires and the things we do are only and constantly for satisfaction of us personally, we will never have fruit for the Lord. It will always be personal fruit. It won't be for the Lord. It'll be for us. Those who sacrifice their time and give up their effort and give their money and those things and for the promotion of the gospel and for the church and for the missionaries, you can't deny that fruit either. The fruit will always be true to what the tree's growing. Give it enough time. You ought to think about this. What kind of fruit do I have? What kind of fruit is in my life? I don't know. You know what's in your life. What kind of fruit are you growing? If your fruit isn't par up to what the Bible says your fruit ought to be, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, right? The fruits of the Spirit, aren't they? That's fruit in your life of a Christian. So therefore, if you don't have those things, you ought to question whether you're a Christian. You can't deny a Christian because those things, God puts them in them and they become them. It's becoming of a Christian to be kind. It's becoming, it's seemly, it's modest for a Christian to have a good attitude and be happy and be thankful. If we aren't those things, there might be something wrong with our tree. What fruit? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 15. Make sure I got that right. New creature. All right. Verse 15. All right, we'll go back to verse 14. I like this. This is all the same thing. But God forbid, verse 14, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Brother Ron was talking about the Jews earlier, and how we know we're Gentiles, and they're the chosen people of God, and they have special blessings on them if they'll do right. But let me tell you something. In salvation and in the body of Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no circumcision or uncircumcision. You're either in or you're out. Bible says here, but, into verse 15, a new creature. Let me tell you something. If we're going to have the fruit and the transforming and the conforming unto the Lord, we're going to have to be a new creature. We cannot take the old man and force him into the conformity of Jesus Christ because he won't stand the test of time. It has to be a new creature. Has to be a new mind. Why? You can't make this flesh do but just so much and it's gonna revolt. I know people who are Christians or acted like Christians for years. They acted like Christians for years. And they were angry and they were mad and they were never happy and everything was against them and everybody was against them and they never had any peace. One day they would stand up in church. Yes, brother, so and so. I want everybody to know I got saved. We thought you were saved the whole time. I was miserable. I hated myself. I hated all of y'all. Y'all made me feel bad. It was terrible. No peace. You can't do that but just so long. New creature. We've got to have our new thoughts for the transforming. All things will become new to us. The fruit will become new. It won't be the fruit of that old man and the old tree. It'll be the new. And we're going to be a new creature. Romans chapter 6. And I'll close here. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says this right here. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But that in he liveth unto God. I want to say this right here in closing. Brethren, when we came forward to give testimony of our life, of a Christian, of a profession of faith, we went forward to our pastor, our preacher, and he said, we want to be baptized. Now the baptism didn't do anything for you. Special. It is a representation of what Jesus Christ did and a representation of the death of the old man put under sin, risen again in Christ, a new creature, transforming himself. Let me tell you something. This is not something, the transformation, we've got Romans chapter 12. I'm going to go back here and just read that again. The transformation, the conforming. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to say this right here. I would never want to embarrass anybody, and I would never want to offend anybody on purpose. Sometimes, we do things and we don't realize how much it affects other people around us. Myself, me and my wife got married. About a year and a half later, we had a little boy. All of a sudden, we had to start changing some things at the house. We couldn't leave certain things on the floor. We couldn't leave knives and plates on the table. We had to start transforming and conforming to a new set of rules for the safety of our newborn son. We had to go get little plug things and put them in the wall so babies don't stick their fingers in there. I had to start being mindful of the things that I was doing. I would come home, take my pocket knife out, put my other tools on the table. All of a sudden, you got a 2-year-old crawling around picking up Letterman or something that could hurt him. As Christians, and as some of us older Christians, we ought to be mindful of the young and the up-and-coming, that we don't take liberties upon ourselves, and I'm talking to me. We don't take liberties upon ourselves that might hurt somebody else if they were to do the same thing. Why? They aren't strong. They can't handle the meat. They haven't disciplined themselves to say no. Therefore, they might come in and go to full excess. I'll give you an example. Drinking alcohol. There's no verse in the Bible that says you cannot drink of any alcohol. There's no verse. Now we have, it says abstain, and it says not to go to the full excess, and it says not to be a drunkard. But we choose at my house not to drink alcohol. Why? I got young people. They don't understand and they can't implement the power over the flesh to tell the flesh no. And what will I do? Destroy them because of my liberty? No. Let us be careful And I finished an example. But there's many ways you might take a liberty upon yourself and you're not taking thought and accounting for the others around you. How it's going to affect them. How does that appear? Ladies, when you come to church and you present yourself to the church in a public forum, you ought to present yourselves in such a way that the young girls could look to you and say, that's modest. Nobody should ever say, now don't do that. Don't dress like them. Don't be like them. Now, I'm not talking about ultra conservatism where everybody's judging everybody. I'm talking about if you can't with a clear conscience say, you know what? I can do this and it's not going to hurt anybody in that church. You should have a clear conscience. Never do anything if your conscience tells you. And I'm saying conscience in this way. The Spirit of God will direct and guide you. Let me tell you what. Wives, if you have a husband, let him help you. Husband, how do I look? My wife asks me all the time, honey, how do I look? Am I presentable? And I'll say, yeah, you look fine. Very rarely, on a rare occasion, do I have to say anything like, honey, It's usually the other way around. It's like, you're going to wear that tie with that shirt? No, you're taking that off. That don't match. That ain't going to work. We ought to be mindful. I'm talking about let's be mindful of our young people. Why? They're young and they're impressionable. They see you do something. Let me tell you what. What my children see me do will be the baseline for how they do it. My excess might be their baseline. So I ought to be careful in how I do things for the sake of my children. Amen? We're all family here. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we ought to be mindful of one another's families. And I'm not accusing nobody of nothing. I'm just making a statement of truth. We ought to be mindful of each other and our families that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, holy, not as in W-H-O-L-Y, as in a whole H-O-L-Y. Holy. Acceptable unto God. And brethren, it's our reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. Why? Testimony. Testimony alone. It's worth every bit of it. Testimony alone. Brethren, I wanted to bring forth was conforming and transforming of our mind, conforming our bodies to Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, our walk and talk, we don't know. We'll never know on this side how many people we affect in our walk more than our talk. People are watching you. They're watching me. And they'd love to see you mess up. They'd love to see you fall. You go, aha. See there? They're just like everybody else. We profess we have something that they need. We ought to walk and appear separate and different from them. What would they need to be like us for if we're just like them? If we go to the same excess? If we enjoy the same liberties? Holy and acceptable. Let's stand for prayer.